You're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
And it is that time to enter Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Happy Friday, Judge Krause.
Happy Friday to you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we always look forward to this moment with you. Co-juror Ben Harrison with me.
Happy to be here. Richard, what is your first case?
The Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Warner Brothers no longer plans to release Coyote vs. Acme, a live-action CG animation hybrid that completed principal photography last year. The completed movie has a very good test score, 14 points above the family norm when they test screened it. And it also stars John Cena, very popular star from the DC show Peacemaker. And this just in on Twitter, I saw that Wiley E. Coyote has chimed in, and he writes on Twitter, "If you work in this business long enough, you get used to having your heart broken and your legs broken and your arms broken and your neck broken. But in my 74 years of age, this is the first time I've had my spirit broken." So my question to you is, should Warner Brothers or any of the big studios be canceling completed films to take a tax write-off?
Never. This is terrible. This is like something I've never seen before, except for it happened with the Batgirl movie last year, same studio. This is ridiculous. And it feels like the war between original great storytelling and great movie making and corporate interests has never been more intense. And I just feel bad for everybody involved in this movie.
Absolutely. If they greenlight a project, they should let us see it. And also, I'm speaking on behalf of my kid who just loves all of the Wile E. Coyote stuff. It's just making people suffer for no reason.
Here's my verdict. To paraphrase Hunter S. Thompson, Hollywood is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs. In other words, it's a pretty miserable place to do business, as this story illustrates. It has always been, though, since day one. As one film critic pointed out on Twitter this morning, the old studio moguls were sons of bleeps and treated people like, and I'm cleaning up the language, like crap. Exploited everything they could do to make a dime, but at the very least, they loved movies, and that's what seems to be at issue here. To the studios, movies and art have simply become product, like a widget or an umbrella or a watering can, simply a consumer product that can be shelved to earn a tax write-off. It seems there's no love for movies in upper management of most studios, and it shows. To create art that people want to see, that will resonate with audiences, that they'll buy tickets for, you need to love it and not treat them, these movies, like a line item on a spreadsheet. And that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, what's your next case?
Continuing her annual tradition of kicking off the most wonderful time of year with a social media clip, Mariah Carey shared this year's rendition on her Instagram account. Recently, in the video, the singer can be seen frozen in a block of ice as the clock switches from October 31st at 11:59 to November 1st at midnight. From there, a group of costume-clad ghouls are shown working tirelessly to defrost the Queen of Christmas, who's sporting a Santa red catsuit complete with a fluffy white trim, before she decides to help them out by singing her signature song, "It's Time." So my question to you is it really time for Christmas?
Poppies before poinsettias. So I would say not until November 12th at the earliest in Canada. But also, don't Americans have a Thanksgiving they need to acknowledge before they celebrate Christmas? So I would say it's a little too soon. But I love Mariah Carey, and I do think that she is the icon for Christmas. I'll keep my tree up all the way into February.
Yeah, I think it's a little too soon. I used to be that guy who didn't really get into Christmas until like a couple of weeks beforehand. Now I can start to see why people are getting into it and why they love it so much that they'll start early November right after Halloween. For me, I could start like December 1st. However, I still haven't heard All I Want for Christmas Is You this year, and I hope to keep it that way. I hope to go until like early December if I can, just because it's a great song, but I hear it so much during the year that I like to keep it for December only if I can.
I heard it in a store recently, so it's already happened to me. Listen, I have no bone to pick with Mariah Carey or her five octave vocal range. None whatsoever. Apparently, she makes about $3 million a year from the song All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is a nice gift to get every year. I'd like to find that under my tree this year. As for when I start celebrating the season, you do you, but I like to get an early start. I used to think it's because I had a nostalgic connection with the holiday, but I've recently discovered a more scientific reason. The colors of the season apparently have a direct effect on how you feel. Red stimulates and energizes the mind, leading to greater creativity, and green is an optimistic color associated with luck and wealth, which sounds good to me. So I may not only start celebrating early, I may leave the damn tree up year-round. And that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, what is your final case?
The actor strike is over, and news has emerged that a biopic of Elon Musk to be directed by filmmaker Darren Aronofsky is in the works. The movie will be from the studio A24, and it's based on an authorized biography of Musk. So the guessing game is on. Who would best capture the essence of the high-tech mogul on the big screen? Could it be maybe Nicolas Cage, maybe Rami Malek, maybe Jesse Eisenberg, maybe Robert Downey Jr.? Here's my question to you. Who should play Elon Musk in this biopic?
Number one pick, Josh Brolin. I think he's the best guy at conveying both guys who think they're smart and guys who are dumb and guys who sort of get confused between intelligence and stupidity. I think that's the perfect sort of approach to play Elon Musk. But beyond that, gosh, I just wish Darren Aronofsky would get back to original stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they should just all go back on strike. The actor strike is over and we're making a movie about Elon Musk and all of a sudden everyone goes back on strike again is what I would say. Or should we check with Wile E. Coyote? I think we shouldn't be shelving this film. But if we do have to pick one, okay, Robert Downey Jr. probably because... or what about Grimes? You know, like usually your partner is the best one to do the impressions. I'd like to see Grimes playing Elon Musk.
Okay, here's my verdict. Now that the SAG strike is over, I'm sure that there'll be a long line of actors lining up to play Musk in this high-profile movie. But I think they should go a different way. I know that one of the main sticking points with this recent actor strike was the use of artificial intelligence to create images for the screen. But I think the perfect casting for Musk would be no casting at all. Just create the technology through AI, the technology mogul through AI. I'm sure he'd approve. He co-founded OpenAI before leaving the company and then launching another AI company called xAI. And he recently said on Twitter X, shows created with the help of AI will be extremely good. So it seems to me like the perfect combo of subject and medium. And that is my verdict.
Could we make a better version of Elon Musk through AI?
I just thought it would capture his personality probably in kind of an interesting way, sort of a robotic configuration of him for a guy that sometimes comes across that way.
Absolutely. Judge Krause, we always appreciate you. Wishing you a lovely weekend.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Richard Krause, as Judge Krause in Entertainment Court, which we always appreciate on a Friday afternoon.